Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. Good morning, Coach Mark.
Good morning, buddy. I hope everybody is well. Good morning, Ian. Hope you're doing well. Going to be a wonderful day down here in South Alabama.
Well, and good morning to our friends at Fox Sports Central. Right there in Sylacauga, Alabama, and they're, boy, you can hear them all over Central Alabama. I got buddies around Lake Martin that are they're going crazy listening to our buddy Lee Pearman and Michael Brennan and all the folks there that are doing such a wonderful job on Fox Sports Central. Certainly appreciate being a part of Fox Sports Central and everything that they're doing
Lake
there.
Martin.
Man.
You know, I think about this. We're still in February, and my wife's uncle, my late uncle, Wayne Waldrop, was a great fisherman. Mm-hmm. Took me fishing one time. It was February. And he said, let's go catch some bass. I'm going, it's February, you know. He said, we'll catch some. So we kind of get out there. And I said, what are we going to do? He says, it's sunny out this morning. We're going to fish the red clay banks, especially the points. Okay. We go out there. And I mean, this guy, he puts us on bass. We load the boat up. He loaded the boat up. I caught a few, lost most of them. But what a great day that was. Just a beautiful day out on the water on that beautiful lake. And just know every morning you folks that wake up on Lake Martin, there's one little short fat guy down here who is very jealous.
Well, that is that's a great place to wake up. I can tell you that. Boy, you look out there. And,
beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful lake. And made some great friends on that lake.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know if you did this or were familiar with a guy by the name of Herb Winches.
I knew Herb. Did lived you? Next door to him in Huntsville.
Really?
When I was I was in college.
Okay, so Herb goes
Channel 6 sports guy.
Absolutely. And he goes to Jacksonville State, plays football.
Right.
His real name was Herb Wygentes or something. It was a different name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well. But anyway, Herb was a sportscaster there at WBRC Channel 6 in Birmingham for years and years and years. And he and I got to know each other doing some Super 6 football broadcast years ago. When we first started doing that, Herb and I worked together some. And Herb's now got a restaurant right there on Lake Martin.
Does he?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he's got a restaurant.
I need to try that out next time I go.
It's a pretty neat thing. He's got a restaurant there, and he's got a caboose that is the kitchen.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. And most of the stuff is outdoors.
That's
but
awesome.
We need to get Herb on here one day. And
oh, he'd be great.
Yeah, and
he tells some stories.
Oh, he's got some stories.
And there was a story. I saw it on the news. When the USFL was in Birmingham.
Right.
He went out and they let him come practice with him. Okay.
Yeah.
And he tried to cut block somebody. And the guy didn't hit him. He grabbed him, picked him up, and you can see him shaking his head. We don't do that here.
Oh, such a great guy. I'm going to tell you right. You are right. He does have a bunch of stories. He really, really does. But he does. He's got a, and I don't know what part of the lake he's on. It's not far from Rick Morris's cabin. We were able to go there from there, and it wasn't a long distance. But you just pull your boat up to the dock. He's got some boat slips out there, and he's got a dock out there. And you just roll up there, and you got tables outside, and they're covered. And, yeah, they bring that
That's
food
awesome.
Out of the kitchen there. So old Herb Winches,
awesome.
And he's living the large life. He really does. He's living
good
a
for him.
Yeah, good job. But he's talking about a sportsman. Boy, he covered high school sports
he
as
did.
Well as any sports.
Every Friday night, I remember that.
Yeah.
Everybody tried to get home from the ball game so you could watch Herb.
We're really lucky. Had the chance, Mark, you and I, to know Herb Winches, and then to be around Randy Patrick, who does such an amazing job.
Oh, God, absolutely.
That's great. So, We got a lot of basketball going on, and we're going to try to bring you up to date during the show today and let you know who all is going where and doing whatever. But we did have an unfortunate incident yesterday, and Mark, this is a show that we're all about building people, coaches, players, and officials up and not being a part of tearing them down, which is an unfortunate incident that took place yesterday at Bill Harris Arena. And you and I are both familiar with Bill Harris.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons, and we're going to talk about him a little bit during the show later on. But Aniston and Viger were playing in a 4A semifinal game, and they had to stop the game 30 seconds to go in the game. There was an incident on the court that should never have happened, but what happens is it carries over into the stands, and it really got dangerous. It really did. And they finally had to empty Bill Harris Arena, which we know of as the old Fair Park Arena.
Absolutely.
But very unfortunate incident, and Aniston did win the game, but it was just very, very, very unfortunate. And it's something that concerns me a great deal.
Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me about this, and I may step on a few toes here, but it bothers me, especially in gyms, that when you're enclosed and you're right there on top. You know, there's a thing about, to me, that it's a cultural attitude that I think has developed over the years where it's, to me, it's not okay for people to get in stands or on a court and belittle another team or another player or anything about – get on there and cheer for your team.
Right.
Have fun. Yell, scream, make chants. Do all that kind of stuff, but don't belittle and pick out. That's, to me, is the origin. That's where it begins,
right?
Okay, in the culture of what we're providing in our kids. It's in colleges and pro
absolutely.
Ball. It's everywhere you look, and it's not just basketball. But basketball, to me, is the scariest in high school because everybody's condensed into a small area.
Yeah.
And people start getting into altercations in the stands, people are going to get hurt.
That's exactly what happened yesterday.
Badly going to get hurt because they're going to fall over those steps. They're not made for that kind of thing. Not even made for walking them down on, hardly. But we allow that kind of thing. Then it kind of it has a tendency to boil over sometimes on the court. Well, kids are going to be in competition, and sometimes somebody's going to act incorrectly.
Right.
So as adults, we are supposed to handle that.
Yeah.
When your child or my child acts incorrectly, we handle that as its parent.
Right.
Okay? And we do it in a way that whatever needs to be done. But our cult, to me, we have gotten to the point where we've lost some of that and lost some of that ability to mold our kids that this is not right. A guy shoves you in the back, you know, flagrant foul, no way he should be ejected or whatever it might be. What is your response?
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to turn the other cheek.
Right.
But we've lost that. That teaching is lost in our society today.
Right.
We don't do that enough.
No.
We don't turn around and say, hey, dude, that's uncalled for.
Yeah.
Okay? And then in the stands, you're not going to settle anything if they're yelling at each other, fighting one another.
No.
And I think we've lost a sense of I guess, is it morality? Or
well,
what it is, I'm not sure what it is. We've lost a sense of that.
You know, Mark, we can't, as coaches and administrators, control very much but what goes on the court. And I'm proud of both Viger and Aniston, their coaches, for controlling their players. What went on in the stands, that becomes a security.
Absolutely.
And that's why you got to have security at these things.
Yes.
And the Alabama High School Athletic Association, there were plenty of Birmingham policemen that were there and were involved in trying to get that stopped. You know, the thing that just scares me to death is some children, innocent children, get knocked down. And it's just scary that it happens. And I was proud of what they did on the court, but the stands were something else.
Absolutely. You know, if you've never been in a situation like that, if you see it on TV, if you watch it from afar, you don't understand the volatile nature of what's going on.
Yeah.
I've been in it. I've seen it happen. It is a scary, scary thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. Just standing there watching, and you might be in the wrong place. Somebody's liable to hit you in the head.
Ain't no doubt.
You know, and so there's those kind of things. And like I'm so proud of Vigor and Anderson for what how they got their players and what they did. Yep. And also, I'm not talking about those schools in general or those people. I'm talking about what's going on in our country because it's everywhere you look. It seems like it turns around and we've lost. And that is one reason that Coach Savarese and our central board continually talk about sportsmanship because we've lost it in many cases.
Yeah. We had that same issue in Sylacauga when they played Pike Road in the final down there, and we saw the student section kind of got that started. So we'll be back with more right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut.
Sure don't want to interrupt those guys.
So won't you smile?
Start messing with Walter Becker and the late Walter Becker and Donald Fagan. We know him as Steely Dan. You just seems like you just kind of mess up the morning when you mess up.
Well, you know, it's like Steely Dan, a cup of coffee, and PSR. You know, that's how to get your Saturday rolling.
We got a lot of people that do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, we sure appreciate that. And, you know, Mark, I'm going to say this, and then later in the show, we're going to get into this more. But, you know, Prep Sports Report for a lot of years has tended to be able to see the positive aspects of the Rush Probst profile. That's beginning to change in this guy's mind and in his heart, too. And the latest news coming out of Valdosta, Georgia is disheartening, to say the least. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little later on. But I want to kind of bring you up to date on where we are with the state basketball championships. We're playing them in two different arenas. We're playing at the Bill Harris Arena. We used to know that as Fair Park. It used to be out on the western side of Birmingham. Fair Park was, and now they have built an amazing complex out there, the Sportsplex there, and where we have so many opportunities for so many different sports to compete in. And so, and it's very appropriately been named the Bill Harris Arena. And you folks in Sylacauga are very, very well aware of who Bill Harris was. And personally, Bill Harris was the athletic director for the city of Birmingham for many, many, many years. And absolutely grew to love Coach Harris while we were coaching in Birmingham, and just a wonderful, wonderful man. And he was all about kids. He's all about children. And, golly, miss those talks that we had. What we're doing right now is we're in the 5A, the 4A and 5A arena. And yesterday in the boys' 4A semifinals, well, let's start with the girls' semifinals. In 4A, Rogers defeated Geneva 55-45, and Anniston defeated Jackson 53-34. Then in the boys' semifinals, so what that means is Rogers and Anniston are going to play for the 4A girls' state championship. In the boys' semifinals, Booker T. Washington, that used to be the old Tuskegee High School. Booker T. Washington defeated Brooks 69-61 in overtime, and that was a heavily contested basketball game. And then last night, Anniston defeated Vigor 53-40. Now, today at the Bill Harris Arena, the Class 5A semifinals, Mae Jemison will play Charles Henderson of Troy at 9 a.m. this morning. And then this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Carver of Birmingham will play Marbury at 2 p.m. The boys' semifinal, all you folks from Sylacauga, I hope you're headed up to the Bill Harris Arena, because your Sylacauga Aggies – that's hard for me to say. It's our Sylacauga Aggies.
It is.
Our Sylacauga Aggies will take on Lee of Huntsville at 11:30 a.m. this morning at the Bill Harris Arena. And then at 4:30 p.m. this afternoon, Ramsey will play Sipsey Valley in the other semifinal. Now, starting Monday, we got a whole array of games to be played over at the Bartow Arena on the UAB campus. We'll do the 6A and 7A semifinals, and we're going to go through that. Hazel Green, who is ranked in the top 10 in the country, will play McGill Tulin. Carla Berry, wonderful, wonderful basketball coach, and who has had an amazing run there at McGill Tulin, and is probably, in my mind, one of the premier women's basketball coaches in the Southeast. McGill Tulin Catholic will play Hazel Green at 9 a.m. That's coming up. That's Monday. And then Chelsea will play Carver of Montgomery at 2 p.m. on Monday at the Bartow Arena on the campus of UAB. The boys' semifinal, Scottsboro will play Jimbo Tolbert's Spanish Fort Toros at 11:30 a.m. We had Jimbo on last week, as a matter of fact. And then Perennial Power Mountain Brook will play Eufaula at 4:30 p.m. Monday at the Bartow Arena. Then we're going to go back over to the Bill Harris Arena for the 3A's, the girls' semifinals. Susan Moore will play Prattville Christian at 9 a.m. And Sylvania will play T.R. Miller. Landon Lassiter, I bet, will be at that game. What do you think?
If he didn't have to teach PE that day.
Well, I would imagine they're going to probably let
him. He may have a baseball game.
Yeah, those kids, I would imagine. You know what? Reschedule that baseball game. You know, let's all go up and support our girls. They're in
the Final
Four.
I think that's the first time they've ever been.
Maybe, but they're 15-2. They play Sylvania 25-8. They play them at 2 p.m. that day. That's Monday. I hope everybody from Bruton can go up and support T.R. Miller that day. The boys' semifinals in 3A, Winfield will play Montgomery Catholic. What a year they've had. Boy, what a year they've had in all sports. And Fife will play Cottage Hill, and that will be some – we all know what kind of football program Fife has had for years with Paul Benefield and those guys up there. Obviously, those same kids are playing basketball, 25-6, and they're going to play a really good basketball team from right here in Mobile, Cottage Hill Christian, 26-1. That'll be at 4:30 on, and I think you've seen Cottage Hill play.
They're pretty solid. They're pretty good.
They're pretty solid.
In fact, they're real good.
Yeah, and that'll be at 4:30 on Monday. Then Tuesday, the Class 7A semifinals, Hoover and Auburn will play at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning at the Bartow Arena. And Hewitt Trustful will play our own Theodore Bobcats at 2 p.m. on Tuesday morning there at Bartow Arena. Congratulations to Theodore.
Is that the semifinals?
That is the semifinals right there at Bartow Arena. They defeated Baker to get to that semifinal game. In the boys' semifinals, Oak Mountain will play Auburn. Auburn's had a heck of a year in football and basketball, hadn't they? Oak Mountain, the boys' semifinals, Oak Mountain will play Auburn at 11:30 a.m. at the Bartow Arena on Tuesday morning. And Spain Park will play Enterprise on Tuesday morning at 4:30. Now over to Bill Harris Arena. On Tuesday, 1A semifinals, Marion County versus Sampson, Skyline versus Linden. Boys semifinals, Bell Green versus Notasog at 11:30, Decatur Heritage versus Otagaville. Otagaville's 29-0. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Otagaville has been a basketball power for years and years and years and years. They have been so, so good. There's a guy named Calvin Hunter that coached them for years there in Prattville and right outside of Prattville. Tremendous basketball program. That's a really good basketball, little basketball community there. Then Wednesday at Bartow Arena in Class 6A Girls Championship will be at 9 a.m., the Boys Championship at 11:30. In 7A, the Girls Championship will be at 2 p.m., the Boys Championship will be at 4:30. Now, we're going to 2A, and this is where we have another Mobile area team. At 2:30, Hatton will play Lynette. At 9 a.m., and then Pisgah will play St. Luke's Episcopal at 2 p.m. Boys semifinals, Hatton will play Lynette at 11:30, and Midfield will play Calhoun. Thursday, March the 4th at the Bill Harris Arena in Class 4A, will play the 4A Girls Championship, Rogers versus Anniston, and Booker T. Washington versus Anniston in the Boys Championship. In 5A, we'll play the Girls Championship at 2 p.m. on Thursday, Boys Championship at 4:30. Then on Friday at the Bill Harris Arena, we'll play the 3A Championship, girls championship at 9 and the boys championship at 11:30. And then the 1A championship, the girls championship, will be at 2, boys championship at 4:30. And to wind things up on Saturday, March the 6th, the Bill Harris Arena, the Class 2A state championship, the girls championship will be at 9 a.m., and the final state championship will be at 11:30 a.m. next Saturday morning. That pretty well gives you a roundup of where we are in high school basketball. And that's pretty doggone interesting. We've got Theodore girls are there. The Sylacauga boys are there. The St. Luke's girls are there. We just got some really good basketball teams there.
Coach Terry Hill is there. Terry McClure at Theodore has done a great job. It's the first time they've ever been to the Elite Eight, first time they've ever been to the Final Four. Just a great job for Theodore girls basketball. Great job, Coach.
Congratulations, Terry McClure, and all those lady Bobcats there at Theodore. We'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Oaks. Sorry, to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we're sitting here thinking about some of the things that are going on around our area. And, Mark, there's a lot of golf going on right now, and that's a great thing. And we're going to visit with Zach Lambrack, the golf coach there at St. Paul's, and going to talk with Zach a little bit about the things. I know he's got a tournament coming up here pretty soon over to Zadia.
Yeah.
So let's bring Zach on. And good morning, Zach, and thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday morning to visit with us here on PSR. And I know that this is an exciting time for you guys. Golf is always as a matter of fact, when I leave here this morning, I'm probably going to spend my time this weekend getting ready for a big tournament tomorrow down at the Gulf. So I know that you guys are in full swing now. So welcome to PSR, and I'll let Mark take it from here. But welcome to PSR, Zach.
Yeah, thank y'all so much. It is great to be here, and I really appreciate you guys highlighting prep golf here on the Gulf Coast. So thank you.
Zach, man, it was great to see you. I hadn't seen you in about a year since COVID hit, and always good to see you and your team out on the course. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about, from your perspective, tell us a little bit about golf in our area, and a little bit about your team. And then in a few minutes, we'll talk about the Azalea City tournament coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, this is really an interesting year. I'd say the last 2-3 years here on the Gulf Coast, we have had several teams that have just really been stacked full of college talent, boys signing a couple of years early, kind of us, everybody having a good idea of who is where. We've had, you know, teams who've won several state championships, you know, back to back to back and whatnot with us and UMS Wright. McGill has been right there with the 7A runner-up a few years ago. And, you know, as COVID hit last year, it really, you know, didn't give an opportunity for the young guys to get to go out there and develop their talent last year. And so this year has really been a question mark. So it's been exciting for me to start a new year and just wonder, you know, who's who and who's going to do what this season. And after that first big tournament, David Miller, a couple weeks ago, it was great to see, you know, all the talent that we've got in the area and to see those boys out there battling it out. It was great to see, you know, a trio of really good golfers here up at the top with Stephen Baker for us and Michael Crocker, both were top three at that tournament. And then you've got Cole, who's just an incredible young player. I love watching him play, also in the top five of that event. So I think that kind of gave us an idea, individuals in the area who really, really to look at. And I'm really excited to see how the team race unfolds this year.
You know, Zach, one thing that has impressed me about what you guys are doing there and Adam and teams around and other of us are trying to see if we can get in the same thing is just building that program with more middle school matches, some JV matches and varsity matches to give kids a chance to play. How do you see that growing in the future in our area with middle school and especially with middle school. That, to me, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and you know, for me, that was one of the keys when I took over St. Paul's program. For a couple of years in a row, it had simply been a varsity team. So you worked your way up to where you were good enough to be one of the top handful of golfers at the school, and the rest of the boys were working on their own. And so my first year, you know, I started a JV program, and then the next year, middle school, and then the year after that, started an elementary program in the fall. And so that's been key for me, just of identifying who are those boys in our community that enjoy golf and ways to get them plugged in. Because as both of you know, golf in many ways is an individual sport. It's you out there battling the course. But what brings these young boys coming back is the camaraderie of the game and getting them together. And so team is such a huge part for me of getting these guys together, getting the younger guys playing with the older guys. And so it's not uncommon for me to, you know, to take the seventh graders on my middle school team on a Tuesday afternoon and have them go out and play with the seniors, you know, pair them up, let them do a best ball or a scramble. And that's huge for both. One, for the older guys to be able to teach and pass on their knowledge. But then also for these young guys now, they see those big guys on campus, and they know their name and vice versa. And down the road, golf is such a great sport for generations to be able to enjoy together. And there's a good chance that on one of these local courses, those guys are going to tee it up in, you know, 10 years down the road when they're both in the business world or just on a Saturday looking for some recreation. And so that's one of the things that I've tried hard to do in getting those young guys out there plugged in. And if they want to play multiple sports in the spring, that's mm-hmm. totally fine. This year I've got a couple middle schoolers on my team who are also wanting to play soccer or baseball. And for me, you know, I'm not looking for them right now to just pin down one sport. Let's do what you enjoy, and we'll work around your schedule. We'll help you out. And I think that's worked out for everybody.
You know, I think you're exactly right. And we do this, you know, we try to do the same thing with letting kids play multiple sports at the same time. And it's just, it's difficult, but it can work. And I think it really helps build the program together. But let's talk a little bit about your tournament coming up, the Azalea City tournament coming up, I think, in 2 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And go ahead and tell us all about that.
Yeah, so the Azalea City is a fun format. It's been going around, I believe this is our 15th year doing the Azalea City Invitational. It started with our great coach, Sandy Santoli, which you know, St. Paul's was able to enjoy 10 state championships under his run. So we have since named that medalist trophy after him, and I've tried to keep his legacy going. But it's a three-round tournament. It's one of the only ones in the state for a high school season. So we get there on Monday, and we'll play two rounds. We'll play and there's six boys to a team, which is also unusual for high school golf. For you listeners who aren't aware, traditionally in a stroke play tournament, you'll have five players, and you'll keep the top four scores. So here we actually allow each program to bring a sixth player. And so on Monday, they'll be in two-man pods, and we'll have we'll kick it off with a best ball, and then we'll finish that afternoon for 36 holes with a two-man scramble, which – I know many of your listeners have played in scrambles before, and everybody loves getting to go out there and really test yourself on the course, maybe try some shots you might not do if you're only relying on your ball. But the boys really love that, competing, you know, head-to-head with another school. And then on Tuesday, we'll come back and do an 18-hole stroke play event. And then we'll combine those three rounds of scores. And this year, we're lucky again to have some of the top programs in the state. We'll have the defending 7A champions there, the defending 4A and 5A state champions there, as well as a lot of the top local talent. I know y'all are coming. Bill's going to be there, UMS, Thompson coming from that Birmingham area, Trinity, which is always a good program up there in Montgomery, Gulf Shores, Vestavia Hills, which is a 7A powerhouse each and every year. The Mountain Brook, they've won, I believe it's three or four state championships in a row in the 7A division. As well as Northridge, Daphne, Florence, Houston Academy. So we're really excited about having a tough field here, and we're hoping to have a little bit better weather than we had at the David Miller last week. It was tough playing in 30-degree weather with wind and rain. So hopefully we can dial up something nice for all the guests.
That sounds good. Zach, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning and spending a little time with us, talking about prep golf, and I look forward to seeing you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you, and y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you, too, buddy.
Take care, Zach.
Well, that's a great – that Azalea tournament is a great tournament. A lot of – I mean, you think about Mountain Brook, Auburn, Northridge, UMS.
That's pretty strong, Mark.
You think?
That's pretty strong. Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Houston Academy.
Matter of fact, I'm going to play Azalea today.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go out and play with some of the guys.
It's a fun course.
From the golfers at UMS. A couple of those guys that have been –
Adam's got a good little bunch on his team.
Yeah, he's got a couple of eighth graders that are pretty good. Don't you have a young golfer that's pretty good, or is he older?
Yeah, I've got Coach Ferguson's youngest son, Luke,
right,
is an eighth grader, and he plays on our varsity,
yeah.
And he hits the ball. He didn't hit it as well as he wanted to. He was playing pretty good the other day in that tournament. It's one of those funny things, and I'm going to tell a story. He's probably going to kill me Monday when I see him.
Yeah.
But we're playing. He's like two over after eight. He's on number nine, Dogwood at Lakewood, and the rain comes. It's wet. It's cold, and we stop the tournament.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And we are dead for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. We go eat lunch. Comes back. Nine's his first hole, and he had a really, really, really bad hole.
Had a Mark Lester hole.
He has what I'd been proud of it.
Okay,
you know, I've been over 10, still good.
Okay.
You know, but he. And he just kind of got in his head, but very good young golfer. And we do have some really good players.
Yeah.
There's another kid somewhere, and I've – Spain Park, I think, has an eighth grader that is pretty phenomenal. So it's fun to watch those kids come up and play and then go on and play at the next level. And I think William Bull, I talked to his sister. He's still playing. He had back surgery, but he's trying to play his last spring out at Arkansas. So.
Yeah.
We hope and wish him the best.
You know, when businesses are looking for CEOs or colleges are looking for head coaches or whatever business there is looking for a CEO, they go out and get the very best that they can get in their field. All you got to do is look at this year's Super Bowl. Look what the Tampa Bay team did to go out and get Tom Brady, and what did he do but led them to a Super Bowl. So when you talk about trying to deal with the state government or the federal government, you need somebody to represent you that is in that category of a Tom Brady. And that's who Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan are. They have great influence in Washington, D.C. and Montgomery, Alabama. So many people rely on either the state or the federal government for their business. And Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people. So if you find yourself in need of working with Montgomery or Washington, D.C., contact our friend, Braxton Counts, at 251-476-9900, and he may very well be your Tom Brady. He may take you to the championship. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan, 251-476-9900. When we come back, we're just going to keep talking high school sports. 52 weeks out of the year. Right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios in Mobile, Alabama.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Welcome, Lake Martin.
You know,
I get a text from one of our buddies at Lake Martin and says, "Where's Boz Skaggs this morning?"
JoJo.
There you go. Right there. JoJo's right there with you, right there around Kalijah. There you go. Enjoy the day on Lake Martin. But we're not ever going to leave Boz Skaggs out of Prep Sports Report. I can promise you that. That's a given. You know, we get to talk about coaches, high school coaches, all the time. And one of our favorites, a guy that has really excelled everywhere he's been. Going from Steve Savarese's, what do you call it, from his alma mater at Leeds High School. Keith Etheridge has just done an amazing job from Leeds to Oxford. And now he takes what is supposedly his dream job. He takes a job at Auburn High School. And, man, Keith won a state championship, won four, I think, at Leeds, beat us one year. He goes to Oxford, wins a state championship in a pretty tough place to coach, Mark. I'm going to tell you, Oxford,
they love some football.
They love that football, and it goes all the way back to Bill Burgess and our buddy Charlie Maniscalco and all
Robert
those
Herring.
Robert Herring after that. And, boy, they love their high school football in Oxford. And I can tell you this, Keith Etheridge wouldn't leave Oxford for just any job. But Keith Etheridge has called this one of the dream jobs of a high school coach. And Auburn has a new football coach with a championship pedigree, I can tell you that. They approved Keith Etheridge to be their new head coach Friday. And he replaces a guy that we have a great deal of respect for in Adam Weingarten. Of course, Mark, you know him a lot better than I do. But Adam left to kind of go to his wife's home. Went to Tuscaloosa County to take that job a little earlier this year. And Dr. Kristen Herring, who's the superintendent there in Auburn, and I think Dr. Shannon Pignato, who is still the principal there, if I'm not mistaken, two wonderful educators and who are all in when it comes to high school athletics. Boy, they made a great decision in hiring Keith Etheridge.
They absolutely did. Keith is a fine coach. Well, I had the pleasure of really kind of getting to know him when he was at Leeds, and we played him a couple of times at Bayside in the playoffs, and they just did a great job and played with a lot of class,
yeah,
a lot of character. And he's just did a great, he's done well wherever he's been, and he's going to do a great things down there at Auburn. And I look forward to watching that and wish him the very, very best. And it must be a dream job, because Oxford's also a dream job.
No doubt.
I mean, that's one of those places that folks go and usually don't leave from. Him going to Auburn is a big deal. But I do want to say one thing about Adam Weingarten for it's a big deal about Adam moving to Tuscaloosa, and there's a lot of things that reasons people do or do not know. This makes no difference. Adam's personal business, and that's why it is. But a lot of people had a lot of things to say about how they lost the state championship game. But I wonder, everybody needs to go back and look. You know, it's easy to see those last couple minutes, but nobody knows the fact that years ago when he was at Fairhope and he continued it at Auburn, he built a culture that he teaches.
Yeah,
he has a PowerPoint presentation he teaches on how to help young boys become young men,
yeah,
how to grow, how to have value, how to have character. He teaches those things throughout his program. And that's one of the reasons Auburn got to where they were in that championship game.
Yeah,
whatever happened in the last 2 minutes does not define Adam Weingarten. And those folks who – gave him a hard time after that, shame on you.
Right.
Shame on you.
And there were a lot of people in Auburn that did that.
I mean, none of us could believe what happened.
No.
All of us hated it and hurt for him. Yada. We all did. I mean, I know I watched it.
Yeah.
At the same time, I know that man and I know what he stands for, and I know that he stands for all the right things that I would want my son to play for in a coach.
Yeah.
He stands for those things.
He does.
Tuscaloosa County, good for you. You're getting one heck of a coach and a fine, fine man. And I wish Adam the very best. And no, I'm off my soapbox. I'll let
No, Mark, you're absolutely right about that, because what Mark does is Mark prepares young boys for the next phase of their life. And he makes a huge difference in their life. And there were a lot of naysayers in Auburn. But you know the thing about it, Auburn went into that game as a huge underdog. Huge underdog to Mark Freeman's Thompson team. And they dominated that football game for, when you look at it, for 46 minutes of the game. They really did. And so when you break that down, that was Adam Weingarten and his staff that got their team to that point to where they dominated that football game. Now, there were some terrible mistakes made the last 2.5 minutes of that game. Terrible mistakes that should never have happened. And that's on the entire football staff.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just on one man. You got a whole staff of coaches who were there and who were in that coach's ear and their job. And I can tell you one thing about coaching with Steve Savarese, and you know this as well as I do. He would always tell us, if there's something going awry, it's your job to let me know that. And doggone it, if you didn't do that, then you were out of line. And so, you know, it's sad what happened there. But they are getting – Tuscaloosa County is getting one of the finest men that's ever walked the sideline. I compare Adam Weingarten, and I don't like to compare coaches, but when you're talking about character, I put Adam Weingarten in there with people like Buddy Anderson.
Yeah.
And I mean, Buddy, those people, those are special. Those are special, special people.
He does it the right way.
He sure does.
No doubt.
He sure does. And a guy that I have the utmost respect for, Terry Curtis, when Terry Curtis talks about Keith Etheridge, he talks about him with the utmost respect. So, and Terry is real. I mean, he tells it like it is.
Oh, yeah.
And he speaks highly of Keith Etheridge. And when Terry Curtis speaks about a coach, I certainly listen to him. And more times than not, Terry is a guy that builds coaches up.
That's right.
Not tears them down.
That's
and
right.
That's one of the things I love about Terry Curtis. Look what he did at Oxford, Mark. When you look at it, he was 25-3 at Oxford. He won the state title, 6A state title in 2019. And he lost to a pretty good team, Pinson Valley, in the quarterfinals this past year. So, great, great program developer. He will do an outstanding job at Auburn. And, boy, a lot of people are wanting to move to Auburn-Opelika area. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Beautiful place.
It's a great place if you're a sports enthusiast because you got Auburn University right there and there's always some kind of sporting activity going on. Congratulations to Keith Etheridge, and we are so excited for he and his family. He will do an amazing job there, as will Adam Weingarten at Tuscaloosa County. He'll change that culture.
He will.
I can promise you that.
He will.
He'll change that culture. A couple of other coaching moves. Hoover's defensive coordinator, Chad McGee, moving to James Clements. He's going to replace Wade Waldrop there, and Wade's going to Florence. Don't know what's going on in Sylacauga. From everything I hear, they may open it back up, try to get some more applicants for that job. Got baseball going today. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second hour, right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Back to Charleston Gas Lanterns Press Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland, and Mark, there's a lot of things going on that deal with high school football, and a lot of good things. You know, I think about our buddy Mike Dubose. Mike Dubose was as fine a defensive coordinator as there's ever been. Defensive line coach, played high school football at Op High School, and was a heck of a baseball player. I don't know if you know this about Mike. Mike was a heck of a baseball player, and really he was kind of on the fence of whether to play college baseball or college football. He ends up signing with Alabama out of Op High School in 1973, went on, had a great career there as a defensive player, and ended up being a defensive coordinator there. left there, had several college jobs, spent some time with Tampa Bay in the NFL, and was close to having enough years to have a pension in the NFL. And I think that's one of the things that he might regret, that he didn't quite get enough to get a pension there. But a heck of a football coach, and he had a tough time as a head coach at Alabama.
He did.
He really did. He had a tough time.
Made some mistakes.
He did. Made some mistakes, but I'm going to tell you.
Owned it.
He owned up to it. And I think the world of Mike Dubose, and he's just recently been appointed the head football coach at his alma mater at Op High School. Excited as I can be about him. And then you look right here in our own county, Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is going to be the new head football coach at St. Michael's. Can you imagine the influence he'll have on kids over there? Just from his experience in the college game at North Carolina State, a kid that really wanted to go to an in-state university. He's a coach's kid. His dad, Steve, was an outstanding high school player at Sylacauga High School, played for legendary coach Tom Calvin there, went on and coached in North Alabama up in your area, coached at both Decatur High School and Austin High School, then went to
Athens.
I'm sorry, at Athens, yeah. and then went, and that's where his son Philip and Stephen played for him there. Then went into North Carolina when Stephen, when Philip committed to North Carolina State, he coached it in North Carolina and did a great job there. I would imagine we'll see Steve Rivers somewhere around Fairhope or there. But in that, that's exciting to know that too. And then you look around the state of Alabama, we a guy, Buddy Anderson, steps down. We hire a young coach from over in Georgia to replace him. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does there. Josh Niblett just lost his offensive coordinator. Chad McGee is going to take the job at James Clements High School there in Huntsville. Look down in Gulf Shores where they've hired Mark Hudspeth, who spent many years in college football. He was a coach most recently at Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee. Two people that came from Clarksville, Tennessee. Do you know who they are?
No.
Remember the one of the first head coaches at UAB. Watson Brown.
Remember him.
That's where he's right from, that area. His brother, you know who his brother is? Mac Brown.
Yeah,
Mac Brown, who's now the head coach at the University of North Carolina, who was a head coach at Texas, but he came back to North Carolina. He was originally the head coach at North Carolina, got out, got into the announcing business, was a color analyst for ABC, took the University of Texas job, did a great job there. Great job at Texas, then went back into the booth, and now he's back at the University of North Carolina. So coaches move around a lot. We've already talked about Keith Etheridge taking the job there at Auburn.
You got Bart Sessions coming to Alabama.
Absolutely. That's a great get. Bart Sessions coming to Alma Bryant. And I think we're fixing to announce a new head coach at Williamson High School here in Mobile. We've got a new head coach at McGill, and I've got to find his name. Norman Joseph, I think, is his name. And
is it Mississippi College?
For a long time. Had some Fairhope players there that you had that played for you there. So Norman Joseph is going to be at McGill Tulin. So lots of movement, but in both the high school and the college ranks. But we're awfully excited about that, and sometimes it's good to get some fresh blood in. But there's also some sad news in high school coaching. A guy that we have, I guess you could say, we've defended him some, and some of the things that have gone on with him, is Rush Propst over in Georgia. And I think Rush Propst is one of the bright minds that's ever coached high school football. I think he changed high school football. He and a buddy of yours that you guys had on here a couple of weeks ago that literally changed offensive football in Alabama. You guys had him on and helped me. Tony Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Franklin and really introduced Rush to that offense.
Right.
So, but Rush has done it again. He's found himself in controversy at one of the premier jobs in the Southeast at Valdosta High School. And he's in the news again, and it's not in a good way. Highly successful at Hoover High School and several other schools here in Alabama. 64-page deposition made public in Georgia on Tuesday. Rush is now the head coach at Valdosta High School, and historically it is among one of the most successful programs in the country, Mark.
Yes, it is.
Superintendent Todd Kaysen said the school is investigating claims that were made in this 64-page deposition, and you can read that if you go on AL.com. The deposition is there. Rush had no comment on the allegations. So if you want to know what's going on there, and it has to do with some students that transferred, two quarterbacks that were brought in, one a young man by the name of Jake Garcia, who transferred to Valdosta High School from a California high school, later declared ineligible. He did land at that pretty successful program at Grayson High School over in Loganville, Georgia. He later signed with Miami in the early signing period. Pretty good player, I can tell you that. Other one's Amari Jones. Amari Jones is one of the 2022 top prospects. He transferred to Valdosta from Atlanta's Carver High School. And so a lot of it is centered around those two. and some payments that were made for rent and so on and so forth. So you can read that. It's going to be hard for me to defend Rush Probst anymore, Mark.
You know, I've known Rush since 1990.
You followed him.
1999, and got to know him when I went to Alma Bryant. He and I had some conversations about the school, and he was nothing but helpful, yeah. You know. And he has, I think, at the end of the day, Rush is really he's got a good heart. He's a good person. He just makes a lot of really bad choices. And for whatever reason, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I do know he changed the culture of football in the state of Alabama. And he's done a great job wherever he is. I also believe that you are innocent until proven guilty. So allegations are allegations. But the thing that worries myself is that it seems like, you know, the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire, and that fire has been burning now for several
years. Long time.
And I just hope and pray that things work out for Rush and he can find a place of comfort and peace and just live his life the way he knows how to do it. And I pray that that'll happen for him. And I hate this is going on, but, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, I've done it and you've done it. We make decisions and those consequences we have to live with. And so I hope that these consequences won't be too severe.
Well, he's got to live with those consequences, yeah. Mark, and he made the decisions that he made. And you know what? You know, it may be time for him to step away.
Maybe
it may be time to step away or to get with some coach where he can be an assistant coach that can give him the proper leadership and guidance.
How about him going on and start doing teaching to other coaches?
Like Tony did.
Yeah,
like
they're
Tony
just talking does. About how yeah. he coaches football.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, he could probably make a living doing that. Yeah. People would pay.
Yeah.
How did you build that program?
That's
how
right.
did you do that?
Well,
you know?
Well, and there's a lot of people that say he didn't build it the right way, though, Mark.
This is true. This
That's
is true.
You know,
I'd like to know how he ran that one zone play he ran. He's pretty good.
He ran his zone play pretty doggone good, Coach. I can tell you that.
He
and he had some pretty good players
yes,
to
did.
Help him along the way.
Yes, he
and he had a doggone good defensive coordinator when he was at Hoover High School. And Jeremy Pruitt was as good as it got
yep.
in that position, I can tell you that. So sad news on that front. Lots of great news. We're going to tell you some baseball news coming up. When we return to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Mobile, Alabama, we'll be right back with more high school sports from around the Southeast.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns PSR. We got Joe Swaggart on the line. We're going to get with him in just a second. But what I want to do, first of all, is I want to give you a rundown on some things going on in baseball today. Over at Faith Academy this morning at 10 o'clock, Matt Seymour's Faith Academy Rams will take on Hoover out of Birmingham. That is the Hoover Bucks. That is the one of the premier high school programs in the state of Alabama in any sport. But Matt Seymour's got a pretty salty baseball team over there, and he's got a pitcher that a lot of people are talking about, a young man by the name of Parker Carlson that is he's something special. And Matt's got several other players that are really special as well. So Hoover at Faith at 10 a.m. this morning, a doubleheader. Then this morning or at noon at Saraland, Gulf Shores plays Saraland at noon. And then at 2:30, Gulf Shores plays UMS Wright at 2:30. That Kevin Raley's got a heck of a team there at UMS, and so does both Gulf Shores and Saraland. Brett Boutwell does a great job at Saraland, I'm telling you. And he's family to us at UMS. But and then at 5 o'clock, Saraland and UMS play. And I'm not sure which game Maddox Bruns will pitch for UMS Wright. John Norris, who kind of keeps us posted on all things going on in high school baseball in the area, and we appreciate John. He thinks that Maddox will probably pitch the 2:30 game. I'm going to get on the phone with Kevin Raley and see which game he's pitching, because I know a lot of people want to see him, but he's got an array of talent that plays around Maddox Bruins as well. So 12 o'clock, Gulf Shores and Sarah Land, 2:30, Gulf Shores and UMS, and 5 o'clock, Sarah Land and UMS. I'm going to be at that 5 o'clock game. I look forward to seeing that game with Brett Boutwell and Kevin Raley's teams. So that's what we got. And then today at 2:30, Daphne is at Spanish Fort. And that'll be interesting, because the guy coaching at Daphne right now used to be the head baseball coach at Spanish Fort. So that'll be interesting. Mark?
We got Coach Joe Swaggart on with us. He's a track coach at Bayside Academy. And I was wanted to have Joe on because he really knows about track in our area and throughout the state. We just wanted to bring him on and talk a little bit this morning about track in our area and anything he wants to talk about, and then talk about his own track team. So, Joe, thank you for joining us this morning, and we appreciate you being with us.
Well, excellent. Good morning, guys. We appreciate you guys opening us up to be able to talk about track and field on your station this morning.
Well, we like to talk about it all, brother. When we talk any sport that we've got going, we just want to make sure we do a good job of letting people know about what our kids are doing, our coaches are doing. So, anyway, tell us about our track in our area. You can tell us about the big track meet you hosted last night. It looked like it was a very well run and went well, and a lot of kids competing.
Yes, last night we had. Bayside Academy was hosting a competition at our Freedom Track and Field. We had Spanish Fort High School, we had Foley High School, we had Daphne High School, and we had Sarah Land. And because of COVID, we limited it to five teams. Traditionally, we try and have a few more teams. But we competed all of our traditional events, all the hurdles, field events, sprints, and distances, and we're just excited about having these opportunities at our own place to open up and allow teams to come and compete. Yesterday was actually the first day for outdoor track and field season, so we'll continue on all the way through May, and we're just each week we'll take advantage of the opportunities we have to compete in some track and field meets.
You know, Coach, I was watching some kids. I saw some kids last night that really some standout athletes. Tell us a little bit about some of the athletes you know in our area that are standout and caught your attention and will be ones to be forces to reckon with throughout the season.
We had as I was putting, you know, when you have a home track meet, you put a lot of you're working the meet a good bit, so I was able to see some of the results and afterward, but one young man that stood out for our team, having a 1-inch overall PR, but having a 7-inch PR when it comes outdoor track and field, was Angus Ladd in pole vault. He cleared 13 feet 1-inch, but we're very excited about that. The hard work that he puts in to get better at that event. But in terms of you know, some other athletes, we're just a really young team. We've got a lot of 7th and 8th graders, and we're mm-hmm. excited. This is by far the biggest team that Bayside Academy's had. As far as some standouts from another school, I can't remember the young man's name, but the Foley had
distance
a young man
runner.
That won both won all three distance events, won yeah. the 800, the 16, and 3200. So that's extremely impressive to run all three of those events in a three-hour span, and not just winning it, but yeah. You know, I think he ran a 10:14 in the 3200, and then I ran a 2:03 in the 800. I didn't get a 1600 time, but to know that he can go out there and do all that in one meet is pretty outstanding.
It is. You know, I watched him run too, and he really has a good stride, a good runner, and so good for him. What tell us a little bit about, you know, when you don't have to go into detail, but folks come to a track meet and they sit and they watch the track meet and they go, oh, we're going to watch them compete. People don't understand the work that goes in to get that track meet off the ground. Tell us just a little bit about that, Coach.
Yeah. In order to put on a track meet, you know, most schools, their schedules are pretty solid and determined. Track and field's pretty fluid. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a 10 meet max season. And then when you get schools, once you get a meet sanctioned, you can have as many schools as you like. It just depends on your facilities. At Bayside, we're limited on parking, so we try not to go too large, even though I'd be excited to have a 20-team meet. But we pretty much, you know, you're coordinating with the coaches, and then you're coordinating with officials. Typically, you have a meet director, somebody who directs the meet, who organizes it. For our meets, that'll be typically that's the head coach who will do that, or an assembly of assistant coaches. And then you have to have an official per field event, and then you have to have an official that's a starter, and then you have to have an official that's a meet referee. So for our meet last night, we had a total of 7 officials. And without our officials, there's no way in the world we'd be able to do track meets. And then even with those officials, you have to have volunteers. So we have 3 volunteers per event, and we're so thankful to the schools that come because they help us by providing volunteers, and that's an expectation we place at Bayside. And some schools do, some schools don't. Just depends on how you can manage that. But and there's weeks of planning. Right now, our next meet that we're going to have is on March 9th. It's a JV middle school meet, and then we'll have another one on the 23rd, and we'll have a varsity meet on April 1st. And so the structure is already there. It's just getting the details of how you're going to implement that day all together. And, right. And then, of course, you know, working with your athletic department and being certain that you have all those details covered that a lot of people don't see in the background. There's track meets a lot different than some other events because you've got a total in outdoor track and field. You can have up to 18 events, 100 meters, 200 meters, 400. And then in the distance events, 800, 16, 32. And then you got 2 hurdle events, a 110, 300. In the field events, you got 7 events, long jump, triple jump, high jump, discus, shot, pole vault, high jump. And then you have 3 relays, typically a 4x100, 4x400, and 4x8.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some schools that are very large, you know, they'll have a lot of athletes they could spread out. But for a school our size, we really depend on a lot of our stronger athletes and spread them out to a lot of events. And as we right now are speaking, we have a young man named Patrick Daves who's competing at nationals. For the 60-meter hurdles indoors at Virginia Beach. And I just got some communications from his dad that he qualified for semis. We're very fortunate for this young man. He's definitely a great competitor and puts in a lot of hard work.
Coach, thank you so much for that. We're on a hard break. But
I hear you.
Thank you so much for everything that you do right there. And, man, I know it's a tough time for you and all the track coaches, but we really appreciate everything that you and all the officials do to get our kids a chance to compete. Thank you a bunch, pal.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Swaggart, head track coach there at Bayside Academy. We'll be back with more PSR and Coach Kevin Raley, baseball, UMS Wright.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
You know, I'm going to do something Mark would never do. I'm going to interrupt Boz Skaggs. That's
what?
Not going to make our buddies at Lake Martin happy, I can tell you right now. And it probably won't make Kevin Raley happy. He'd probably rather listen to Boz Skaggs and listen to me and you talk, but we're gonna do
well,
that.
I'd rather listen to Kevin talk.
Well, I had too. We're gonna talk to Kevin here in just a second. I want to tell you this: if you're involved in an auto collision, always be sure to exchange information with all parties involved. Premier Collision will then get your vehicle looking like new again. That's Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. Our buddy Chris Garris. And listen, Premier Collision supports so many activities of high school sports. I was there the other day. A lady walked in almost in tears. She said, "Mr. Garris, thank you so much for taking care of my child." I mean, they went and got the vehicle, made sure everything was collected that needed to be collected, and was right there on the spot to take care of their car. And then when she came in, she said, "You guys went the extra mile to make my daughter's vehicle look nice again. We're so pleased with every aspect of the work and the price. Great people, great experience." That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. Give Chris Garris a call. He'll treat you just like he treated that lady that I had the privilege to listen to share her excitement about the work that Premier Collision did. Tell you what, you always get excited about the work this guy does. You're talking about somebody that can develop baseball players, and we talked about developing young people not only into being baseball players but be young men. Tell you what you do, and I go to Robertsdale a lot because I love that place. I love coaching there. You listen to the players that he coached at Robertsdale and the testimonies that they have about this guy, and you listen to the guys that play for him at UMS Wright and the testimonies that they have about him. They absolutely love him, but they have the utmost respect for Kevin Raley. Got a big day going on today, Kev. You go last night, I guess you go down into Andalusia, Op, somewhere around in there, and you get a big win over Op. And today you got a doubleheader. Tell us what all's going on over. Brett Boutwell's got a big thing going on over at Saraland. Tell us about that today.
Yeah, he does. He's got, I think there's a JV Go Shore Saraland at like 10, and then there's a three way between us, Go Shores and Saraland. Starts at around 12 or 12:30, I guess, the first Forrester game.
You know, Kevin, there's a lot of talk. And not only – Clay even mentioned Maddox Brun's name to me the other day in a conversation. So, obviously, one of his scouting buddies mentioned something to him. And so, you know, Clay's going to touch base with those people all the time. But you got some other really good players around Maddox out there. Talk just a little bit about some of those other players that you got, because, you know, one guy gets a lot of recognition, but the others, as you well know, other players get seen by virtue of playing with a great player like Maddox Bruins.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we've been fortunate to have over the years good players there and good leaders, and that's what we're looking for now. You know, we had a tough game last night up in Andalusia. We played what I thought was a real good Op team, beat them in 6, 5, and 10 innings. And you know, and sometimes in adverse situations, you can kind of pick out the good pecans, as my grandmama used to say. But you know, I mean, we've only played 5 games, and you know, Cam Snipes, Jay Lawrence is just doing an amazing job behind the plate. You know, we've got some infielders right now that are doing a pretty good job for us. Will Jordan, Jackson Bassett, Pearson Eichner, Trace Singleton, and then in the outfield, Seth Farney's, you know, starting to hit the ball a little bit. You know, Cole Blaylock had a couple of hits. Trey Weaver had 2 hits last night. So.
Wow.
You know, I think our 7, 8, 9 last night was 6 for 14, and you know, you got to have production like that sometimes, and you know, and the guys got it done, and you know, we lost the lead in the 7th, and Jay hit a walk off single to win it in the bottom of the 10th. So, you know, we got some guys that, you know, pitching, knock on wood, so far it's been fairly consistent. You know, we've run 5 or 6 guys out there so far, and they've all thrown strikes and competed, and Sam Norris threw 3 brilliant relief innings last night. And you know, so we're trying to get production from everybody.
You know, Kevin, when you look at this baseball in this area, you guys
it's crazy.
I mean, you played Matt Seymour's team. What, you played them, and they pitched. I think Parker Carlson pitched against you. He's a kid that's committed to Auburn. I mean, it's just great baseball right now here.
Yep, Mobile Christian's got one too. I can't remember his name, but Brett was telling me they beat Saraland 3-1 Thursday. And he said that guy was 88 to 92. You know, I think right now in this area, it's as good as I've seen it. It's probably mid-90s to the late-90s, and some of those years Grand Bay was so good.
Right.
You know, there's some really good arms out there, and there's a lot of really good baseball players.
Well, you've got, if I'm not mistaken, you've got a player that's verbaled as a youngster to Ole Miss, right?
Yes, it's Seth Farney, yep.
Man, and he's a baseball, I'm going to tell you, even when he was in the 8th grade, he missed a little bit of school because he was at a baseball academy, and he got into school, I think, 3 or 4 weeks late. But, boy, he caught up with his – I mean it. I've never seen a kid work as hard to catch up with his work as Seth did after he missed that. So, it's amazing. And, Kevin, one of the things that excites me about it is the coaching that these kids are getting. We got some really quality baseball coaches in our area. I mean, really.
Oh yeah,
good
no
kids.
Doubt. You know, Gulf Shores has got a really good team, and I told people before the season started, I said, you know, they got two good young coaches over there, and they've got some good players, and they're proving it. You know, they're winning some games. It's just the coaching around here. It's it used to be, you know, a long time ago, you could out coach people, but yeah. I don't think it's kind of hard to do now because these guys are doggone good.
Well,
but you know, but that's what makes it fun, Rick. I mean, you know, it's all about competition. You know, we're supposed to be in Mississippi this weekend,
right?
And of course, we couldn't go, and I was in a bye. I had no games,
yeah.
Nothing. We were going to go Tuesday to next Thursday, and I sent out an email, and Tyler Dan and Andalusia said, "Man, I got a doubleheader with I'll give you a game." And
yeah.
then Brett called me and said, "I got a doubleheader with Gulf Shores. You want to come over?" So
yeah.
You know, I appreciate them helping me out because I was going to be in a bind.
Yeah, it's killing all of us in spring sports, Kevin. I got one of those tennis teams that I think is going to be really good. I'm going to have these same kids for the next 2 years. We can't travel. I mean, you know,
right.
we wanted to go out of state like you do and play some really big tournaments and got invited to those tournaments, but because of COVID, we can't do it. And that's the thing about it. In our situation at UMS Wright, we're all finding ways, and you are as good as anybody at doing it, finding ways to get your kids game experience. And I wanted to catch up with you quick because I know you got a full
okay.
morning. But I look forward to seeing you at 5 o'clock this afternoon. You know, I always want to come out and see when Bout was coaching against two of my buddies.
Yeah, me too.
So keep him straight, Kevin. You know,
I'm going to chain him into the dugout.
There you
that?
Go.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks a bunch at late notice for coming on with us. Good luck today. And
boys. Thanks for what y'all do.
Well,
thank you
for
buddy.
What you do, pal. You're
yes,
as good
sir.
As it gets. We'll talk to you soon. That's Kevin
yes,
Rayleigh. And, boy, I'm telling you, fun guy. He loves that game.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he loves
it. He always
that game.
Has.
He's
a good coach. He does a good job in whatever he's coaching. And I love to watch him coach. I love to watch him coach middle school football.
Oh,
he has a great time.
Let me
doing
tell you
that
this. Day. He's a heck of a secondary coach. Nah, he coached at Robertsdale for a long time there. And shoot, I tried to hire him two or three times, Mark. I offered him everything I could offer him, two Snickers and two Pepsi.
Oh, my gosh.
I met him at my brother-in-law's law office one time, and I said, "Kevin, what will it take?" He just shook his head.
Nothing. He ain't got nothing I can take.
He loves those kids in Robertsdale.
Yes,
it's a great place, and he built that program up.
He did.
He did a great job there, and, Lord, I love the boy. I do.
I'm going to give a shout-out to a young man that me and you both know.
Yep.
Middle school player at Bayside Academy. The other night they were playing St. Luke's, and a young man highlighted the ball game with a grand slam in the game, and Bayside was able to beat St. Luke's 6-5. Grand slam by Walker Turner, and a seventh grader, and just did a great job. And I know his daddy's awful proud of him. So congratulations to Walker for a big, big home run in the ball game the other night.
Mark, thank you for doing that because Walker is just a special, special young man. He's the son of a coach and also the son of an administrator. So that's kind of tough there.
He didn't have much wiggle room.
No, not much at all. Not much at all. And let's mention a couple of others. First of all, Whitney Novak, the Bryant Jordan Scholarship Award winner from this region down here in, I think it's 2A, the daughter of Scott Novak, who's the director of tennis for the Mobile Tennis mm-hmm. Center and does an amazing job, played tennis for my buddy up at Clemson. I mean to tell you, Scott is a tremendous man. But he and Lorraine, his wife, have a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful daughter in Whitney Novak. And she has led her team now to the state semifinals there, St. Luke's from here in Mobile. Congratulations to Whitney. Just a tremendous, tremendous athlete in basketball and in tennis. And her future is the sky's the limit for Whitney. And we certainly are proud of the job that she's done there. And then Dorsey Parker. Dorsey Parker scored 34 points. Her team lost against Marbury. in the area finals, and in the final eight, and did a great job there. And just mighty proud of Dorsey Parker from UMS Wright. Played for Coach Terry Canova, and she's got a bright future in front of her. I love watching she and Kara Beth Green and that entire girls team play. But Dorsey went out her junior year on a really solid note, 34 points and about 13 or 14 rebounds. But Marbury was able to defeat our UMS Wright Lady Bulldogs in the round of eight. All right, when we come back, it's that segment that everybody talks about, and we appreciate that. It's called the Camp Grace segment, and it's really what we're all about. And Mark Lassiter does a tremendous job with that, and we appreciate and love the job that he does that. We'll be back with more right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to do my dead level best not to start sniffling, folks. I'm going to.
I got you.
Many years ago, many of you may know, I was born into the household of a Southern Baptist preacher, and my granddaddy on my mama's side was a Southern Baptist preacher. And so I was in church from the day I was born to the day I moved out of my mom and daddy's house. I was there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sometimes Thursday. And then if they had anything else on the weekend, I was then there then too. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. Back in those days, that's the way church went, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Of course, Wednesday night was my favorite because it was potluck dinner. And everybody brought something to eat, and you all ate, and then you went to church. Now, I could do that because I used to fall asleep. But those were some great memories in my life. They were. And it gave me even though there were so many times I didn't even want to go. You know, I didn't. Especially on Sunday afternoons during football season. When I was a kid, you got three channels on the TV, okay? And it was always that late afternoon football game, pro game. And I didn't care who was playing. I loved football. I wanted to watch it. And we'd have to get up and go to church, and I'd miss the last part of the game. He used to make me so mad at my daddy. I'd say, "Dad, can I just stay?" And he'd, "No, we're going to church." And that's just the way it was. As time passed, you know, and I got out, I remember thinking to myself after I got out of high school and went to college, I said, "I've been at church enough. I don't need to go for a while." And I didn't go. After that didn't last all that long. I ended up going back to church, and, you know, during those days I gave my life to Christ, and it became a game changer for me at that time. Then along the way, you know, if you don't do a really good job of following what it tells you to do, you know, there's a format in the Bible that tells you how to live your life and how to do things, so you'll stay on that path, you know, a path that is actually is of happiness. You know, that's what it's all about. And yet I think that I got a better plan. I know how to make myself happy, and I'm gonna do it this way. As time went by, I kind of withdrew from the church again and withdrew from God and moved on my own thing, and everything became about me. And a good friend of mine used to say, "You know what, you think you're the master of the universe." I'm like, and I was thinking, "Well, what are you talking about?" You know, but I think that I did, because I thought I could make every decision. Every decision I made was right. Time went by, and I noticed things that happened in some churches with my dad that the last one he went to as a pastor, things ended quite poorly. And I heard people accusing my dad of a lot of things that I knew were not true. I know to this day they're not true. And Dad finally resigned. And I made a promise to myself. I said, that's the last time. I'll never darken the door of another church. Not if this is the way God's people act. I'm not going to go into all that. And I didn't. And then I started, I need to get, as my boys started growing, I need to get back in church and set a good example. So I tried and did okay. Things happen in our lives and changes the way we think, changes our perspective of things. And, you know, some things happened in my life where things changed. And I realized that whoever was giving me a hard time about being master of the universe and what a joke that was absolutely correct. I was a master of nothing. I couldn't even master my own life. So some things changed for me, and I started going to church a little bit. But I was never regular, Rick, and I just wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't stay in there. Yeah. I knew my life, my relationship with God had changed, but that deal hadn't made that step like I should. Well, the story I'm getting to, the best part of the story, happened about a year and a half ago. My oldest son, Brooks, took his granddaddy, Bobby Waldrop, and his grandmama, Beverly Waldrop, live in our home. They've lived there since 2011, and what a joy that's been to have them in our home. But Bobby, Brooks asked him one Sunday, or one week, said, hey, and we called him Pop, Papa, you go to church with me this Sunday? And he said, yeah, I'll go with you. And so, sure enough, on Sunday morning, Bobby and Brooks went to church together. And they started doing that every week for, gosh, about a year, I guess, whenever their schedules worked out. And it was just about every week. And then, of course, back, as many of you know, I've told the story back in January, Papa passed away, you know. And it's really been a sad thing for our family because there's like a vacancy in our home that can't be filled and never will be. You know, we just have to adjust and move forward as best we can. But I remember one Sunday after that happened, a couple weeks later, I saw Brooks come in. He came by the house that morning on his way to church, and he went by himself. And he's got a buddy that goes there and his wife. But still, I know that was a little tough. So, me being good daddy, I'm going to be daddy of the year. Got that old chest stuck out and pride. And son, I'll go to church with you. Can I go to church with you this Sunday? That'd be all right with you. Yeah, Dad, it'd be great. So I'm sitting there at the church. So we're at Three Circles Church. And here's a plug for y'all, Three Circles. Anyway, we go to Three Circles Church. And I'm thinking, I'm doing this for my son. What a good daddy I am. Wow. Ooh. I sat in that service that morning and heard God talk to me, like giving me one of those good old-fashioned fanny whippings my daddy gave me when I was about 10 for acting ugly. And taught me that day, you're not here for your son. You're here to hear the word of God. You're here for me. And I heard some things that day that I needed to hear. I want you to know, it's been a blessing that I cannot tell you how important that hour and a half is to me every Sunday morning. And I got to thank my son. He taught me. He taught me what I needed in my life. And it wasn't about being the daddy of the year. It's about being a child of God.
Mark. Another Saturday morning of wisdom. Mark, you taught that child a whole lot of things, you and Michelle, as a mama and daddy who laid a foundation for that child to later teach you some lessons that we all need to learn. Boy, it's been a great show. We appreciate everybody jumping on board with us. Please be in prayer for our country each and every day. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you same place, same time next week, right here.
Work is a part of all of us. It's a winning spirit, a trade, or a passion to help others. Working drives us to push beyond what we thought was possible and allows us to be there for the things that really matter. We know that the world around us has changed, and that's why the